maybe one time, so y'all just pray for me that I get through it.
Bless the Lord.
I love this song when I first heard it, and it, you know, it's the name of it is Thank You, Lord, and everything, you know, that I hear of it, it is true then. But I'm going to dedicate this to Sybil because she helped me get this song printed up for me, and
bless her.
I've been trying it a long time, so y'all just listen to the song.
Good song too, amen. Anyone else? you gonna do one?
He says he doesn't have one this morning.
All right. You gonna turn that off?
Yeah.
Brother Jerry, I for sure don't need a microphone loud enough. As it is. We want to make a few announcements real quick. First of all, let me say Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. And being a father myself, it's a blessed honor. And I just praise God that the Lord done things like He done them. I think every child needs a father. They need a mother too. They need the mother's love. But they need the father's authority and also direction. Proverbs 17:6 says the glory of children are their fathers.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of problems today in America. And most of them are caused by fatherless children. I'll just tell you that right now. Amen. We need the father figure in the home. I know they're working them like a sled dog. And not only is the father working, but the mother's working. Now they got the children working. Well, praise God, we're going to rest my labors when we get home, amen. But until then, you guarantee you this, Brother Mark done a good job teaching this morning. But he mentioned by one man's disobedience, buddy, been sweat on the face ever since, amen. This old boy worked in them sweat houses, I tell you right now. Amen. Let me make this announcement. We're not going to have service tonight due to Father's Day. Give you a chance to spend some time with your Father. Thank God for our Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
And another thing, we got a card right here. A lot of people have put forth a lot of effort. All of you have been contributors to the effort. We're trying to send our young people up to see the Ark. Brother Mark taught this morning at a Genesis chapter 6, and we didn't get to the part where God told Noah to build an ark, but He did speak about that ark in a good lesson this morning.
Amen.
Brother Mark's going to be helping us. I welcome the help. I'll tell you that right now. Been telling y'all for a long time. I'm only teaching because nobody else wants to or wants to step up to the plate, but I welcome anybody that does want to help out. One man can just do so much, and Brother Mark, bless his heart, not only co-labor in the work of God, my senior as a pastor, my senior as a brother, love him to death, pray for him, done a good job teaching this morning. You ought to have been here, good information. But this effort right here was to raise money for that trip. Sister Rita had it in her heart to take the kids up there to the Ark. I immediately got on board. I thought it was a worthwhile effort. And many others here, a big long list of names, got also involved in this work, and we've had some success. If my understanding is correct, July the 12th, we're going to try to launch our ark, amen. Get up there to where this thing is. I've never been there. I've heard about it. I've read about it in the Bible. But they built a replica of it. It's in the northern part of Kentucky. And we're going to try to go up there with them and see this great thing. I think it'd be worthwhile. I think it'd be a blessing to get to go. Bonnie put this card together, and she put in here Nehemiah 4:6, for the people had a mind to work. And 2 Corinthians 9:7, for God loveth a cheerful giver. A lot of people have given to this effort. We thank God for those gifts. Amen. Let's see if I got any other things here to announce here real quick. Like I said, we're going to cancel the services tonight. We canceled it on Mother's Night, Mother's Day. We canceled the services, and we're going to cancel the services tonight. I can't think. Has anybody got anything I need to announce? I can't think of anything else if that's it. Well, we'll take our Bibles, open up to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. I've been listening to men preach all week long, so I'm pretty well filled up, amen. But they've been preaching a good message, amen. But as I was listening to Brother David Epps preach a message out of 1 Kings chapter 19, I have to admit the Word of God came to me a little different than he was preaching. Of course, it's all good. Thank God for a Bible, amen. And let me say this, thank God for Patrick. They sent me some barbecue. And I don't know if it was for Father's Day or Pastor or whatever. I'll tell you right now, it was good, amen. And I'm like, you know, praise God, thank you. That was wonderful. You know, I don't care too much about the LBGTQ, but I do like the BBQ, amen. I really like them. And I like them letters, amen. Hallelujah. And I do love the LGBTQ. I do. And I want to help them. I can't help them like Jesus can, but I can help them find Jesus. But I'm telling you, buddy, he can straighten this man out. I was crooking his dog's leg. Didn't know my left hand, my right hand. Didn't know how sinful I was, how wicked I was, until I saw myself in the mirror of the Word of God. But when I did see myself lost and undone, I saw also a nail-scarred hand saying, let me help you, amen. I'm glad he's a friend of sinners, amen. That's a terrible accusation, but they accused him of being a wine bibber and a friend of publicans and sinners. They accused him of meeting with sinners. Hey, he still eats with me, amen. Hallelujah. Yeah.
That's right.
1 Kings chapter 19. I'm only going to read four verses there. I was going to read down to verse number 6, but I'm going to stop at verse number 4. 1 Kings chapter 19, it says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. Boy, he got the pronouns right there, didn't he?
Yeah.
And said, it's enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers. And as I heard Brother David Epps preach a message on depression and a tremendous message that he preached, I zeroed in on those last two words, my fathers. Notice it's in the plural.
Yeah.
I'm preaching today on my fathers. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we're so thankful that you are our Heavenly Father. Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, for the fathers, Lord, that you've given us on this earth, Lord, that have set, Lord, not only a good example, but Lord, have helped, Lord, to protect, help to provide, help, Lord, dear Father, Lord, to show us things we need in life. Lord, we just call upon you right now, Lord, how unworthy I am. How unable, Lord, I am to do anything apart from you. You told your disciples in John 15, you said, without me you can do nothing. Lord, we don't want to do nothing. We want to do all we can for the praise and glory of God. Bless our efforts here today. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing today. We'll thank you, Lord, for whatever is done here today. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Did you notice that Jezebel had a problem there with Elijah killing her prophets? Matter of fact, he killed 850 of them. You can find that in 1 Kings chapter number 18, verse number 19. There was 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the grove. And you know, Elijah slew all of them. You get over there about verse number 40, it said Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Did you notice Jezebel had a problem with Elijah killing her prophets? Well, look over here in verse number 4. It said, and when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, they didn't make no issue about her killing God's men, did it? That's kind of where it is today. It's kind of one-sided. One bunch loud, another bunch. They burn the town down, have a fit. Yeah. Then you let somebody try to stab what's right, try to do something right, and try to crucify them, Brother Danny.
Yeah.
But you know that difference there, it seems like they're more loud than we are. It seems like, you know, they make a big deal. You know, we get this, Brother Mark mentioned this morning about this decision coming down from Roe versus Wade. No telling what's going to come of that. I just say, you know what? What's good for the goose, good for the gander. She killed all the God's prophets. All but I think 100 there forgot his name here. Let me see here. All that Obadiah had hid, he hid 500, one cave, 500, another cave, or maybe 50, and 150 another. But anyway, he hid them. But you know what? She killed all the rest of them. And if that wasn't enough, God said he had 7,000 that bowed the knee to Baal. When Elijah had a little pity party, we'd have them pity parties. I'm preaching on my father, but I just want to bring that out. That Jezebel, she made a big deal about Elijah killing her 850 prophets. Wasn't nothing said about her killing all the prophets of God. You know, that's kind of what's going on today, Brother Danny.
That's right.
There's a lot going on today, ought not be going on.
That's right.
Like what Brother Mark said this morning, he said the God of all, he'll do right. That's what Abraham asked God, so not the judge of all the earth, do right. He'll do right every time.
Right.
Don't stand before God in your sins. Stand before God having your sins under the blood of Jesus. Because God said, when I see the blood, He said, I'll pass over you. Christ, I'll pass over the Lamb, was crucified for us. And in His sight, amen, you can be forgiven. Under His blood, you can be cleansed. And you can stand before God justified by the sacrifice of His Son.
Amen.
Good to see Dallas. Just here this morning, they sure do look different, amen. Boy, Jesus makes a difference, don't he, amen? I tell you what, I wish I could go through it again, glory to God. I'm telling you, it's good to be saved, hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm preaching about my fathers. That plural right there. Hebrews 12 verse 9 says, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. That plural fathers. I had a good father. He wasn't saved, but he had a lot of character, had a lot of integrity. He tried to do right. Brother Mark, he's teaching this morning, he's talking about keeping them Ten Commandments. We can't keep them.
No.
And you know what, Dad? He really did try to live right. He did. He set a good example. But my dad, as good an example as my dad set, he still couldn't set the example my Heavenly Father set.
That's right.
Then I had my grandfather, Brother Ed, a godly, very godly grandfather.
Yeah.
I had two fathers that kind of mentored, molded my character. I mean, the Bible said a child left its own to bring its mother's shame. We got a lot of stuff going on today, and it's a product, really, of the absence of fathers in the family.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, my dad got my attention. I can remember me getting out of line, Brother Danny. My mama said, I'm going to tell your dad when he gets out. I said, I'll be good. Yes, sir. What'd you say you want me to do, Mama? I'm ready right now. She said, Buddy, she said, I'm going to tell your dad when he gets home. But I mean, I got my little halo on real quick. I said, Mama, did you say take the trash out? Did you say paint the house, wash the car? What was all that you told me to do? I mean, I got in line. That father figure.
Right.
Amen.
And you mothers, every time I run to Mama, kiss it, Mama! She pulled me up in her arms full of dimness out of me. That dad, he loved me too. But he loved me in a masculine. You know, we got so much lace on the underwear today. I don't know if there's any masculinity left or not. But I'm kind of dogmatic about my masculinity. My dad, he was a man's man. They called him Thumb because his little finger was bigger than my thumb. I never seen such a set of hands. I can still remember flipping over the back of the chair at the kitchen table when I couldn't behave at the kitchen table. It only took one of them. You can train a monkey. I'm not kidding you, buddy. When you go over the back of the chair and mash things, it's a ceiling there. And Mama slapped him, said, you leave him alone.
You know, it's one time when you need to let him be the job, do the job he's supposed to do. He's straightening out a boy. Then he learned some manners at the table. And you know what? Dad might not do it the right way, but it worked. I'll tell you right now.
Amen.
Elijah, he said, I'm no better than my fathers. Now, for them to make that statement, that tells me that he had a goal to do not only what they done, but to do even better than they done. When he said, I'm no better than my fathers, I want you to know they had set a mark in his thought of what he needed to do in life. The standard was there. The goal was there. And he was trying to do better than his fathers. But when he said, I'm no better than my fathers, it sounds like a failure. Yet he went on beyond that. It wasn't a stopping place. I'll admit he did pause there for a little while. He was in that juniper tree for a little while. But if you'll notice, God ministered to him there in that little pity party he's having in there. And it says, as he lay and slept on a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Verse 6, and he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. Now Elijah is discouraged. Elijah is having him a well. You know, he kind of, I guess, deserves to have this pity party. But now he has just had one tremendous revival. He has been successful in showing who the real God is. And you know what? When you have them revival type services, you count on the devil showing up. Amen. You know, he had the greatest victory. Here he is. He showed all of Israel who God is. They said, the Lord, He is the God. I mean, He put the finger on the problem. Baal wasn't God. He proved Baal wasn't God. There wasn't no doubt about it. I'm telling you about it. He mocked them and He told them, crowd, and they did crawl out a little better. But there wasn't no answer. You know the devil will do you that way.
Right.
He'll give you a little something. Then He'll give you a little more. But when you really need Him, He's nowhere to be found. I'm glad God said, I'll never leave you.
Or forsake.
And I'll never forsake.
Yeah.
Christian, I'd never reach too far to find God.
No.
Bible says you're never very far from being one of us. I don't have to run it down, Brother Mark.
No.
I don't have to tell GPS.
No.
All I gotta do is just reach right there. Right there he is. Amen.
Right.
Well, this Baal had kind of led these 850 prophets, and they thought they was doing pretty good. Hey, they thought they was as good as Israel's God was. But when it come down to time to show who God was, didn't he? He is nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
And they lost their life, rightly so. All that followed the devil going to be in the same predicament. You know, I'll just tell you, boy, when it comes down to it, I'm glad I got the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you, hallelujah.
Amen.
Hey, he that hath the Son has life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The wrath of God abideth upon him. Hey, hey, hold on eternal life. And don't never let go. God gave you something to hold on to.
Amen. Thank you. Yes.
Oh, I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen.
I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
Way things are looking, I tell you, ain't no better time right now to be saved.
Right. That's right.
I'm telling you, it looks like everything falling in. They propped it up, put the head in the sand, been in denial, and you know, they've done everything they know to do, but God's still God, and they ain't going to make it without Him. They're going to get it on the slow train, but they're going to get it. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, that. When he said, my fathers, they had set an example before him. They had set a goal for him to shoot for and to reach in life. Now I'm going to say those were the footsteps he was following. Amen.
Yeah.
The greatest crisis in America right now is the lack of fathers. No mentoring going on. Children without fathers are not only more likely to drop out of school, but 90% fall
out and homeless and runaways are fatherless. There are 18.5 million in America that are fatherless, and that makes America the world's leader in fatherless children. Hello!
Amen.
I'm going to tell you one reason that's like that. Those other countries, 42 billion and what we sent to Ukraine, that's all we do, send y'all's money somewhere. Y'all get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to work here.
Yeah. That's right.
The father's working. The mother's working. Mm-hmm. The children's working.
Yeah.
Trying to make ends meet that can't be met. Why? We're under slaves.
That's right.
In a free country.
Yeah.
Mark, he quoted, or he read, Proverbs 29, verse 1. He had been offered to prove hardened in his neck, shall certainly be destroyed without remedy. That next verse.
Yeah.
Proverbs 29, verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, people rejoice. Our problem is at the top.
Right.
When the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. I just want you to know we got a problem.
Right.
I can't handle it. You can't. Look, I don't care if you get all the ammunition in Barron County, all the guns in Barron County. Can't do it.
Right.
They should have never got in power, but now that they're in power, there's really only one way to take the country back, and I wish they would. I don't think it's ever going to happen, but it had to be the military. Because we got the greatest military in the world. You're not going to defeat the military. But if the military that swore oath to defend this country from foreign enemies and domestic enemies, if they face one up there and charge the Capitol, and you know, throw these bombs out and put some people in there that love this country and really trying to help this country, there wouldn't be no deficit. You get what I'm saying?
That's right.
But the problem we've got today is our money is going everywhere but here. Well, that's why the father's missing from the home.
Yeah.
You watch them other countries, they all sitting over there. Ain't nobody doing nothing. Why? I got the money coming.
That's right.
I'm not arguing. And I'm not complaining. Like Brother Mark said, God's still blessing America.
Right.
Thank God He is. But you know what they're doing, Brother Mark? They're taking our blessings.
Yeah.
They're taking them where they don't
belong. Right.
They're what Jesus says, not meant to give the children's meat to the dogs.
That's right. Amen.
Well, I don't know how I got on that rabbit trail. But listen, that absence of that father is getting more so, not less so.
Yeah.
We're talking work two or three jobs. We're talking about, buddy, he ain't got no time to sleep, no time to rest. That father needs to be there.
That's right.
There's no one can take that place of that father.
That's right.
I know we got all kinds of programs and all kinds of, you know, what they call them, social workers, all that bunch of junk. They'll put them on some kind of pills and some kind of program, make them, you know, worse than what they really are. They just need their father. Amen.
Amen.
Proverbs 17:6. The glory of the children are their fathers. They need their father. They need their father.
Amen.
You know what? Fathers need to be fathers.
That's right.
Hey, I married my wife 47 years ago. It ain't been no cakewalk. I'll tell you this, buddy. I didn't leave.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, hey. Roll your sleeves up, be a man. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
It might be a battle, but it's worth
it.
I put up with her sometimes, she put up with me sometimes. Hey, I ask her to forgive me sometimes, she asks me to forgive her.
That's right.
What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. God knows what He's doing, and God says not good for a man to be alone.
Amen.
Men think they don't need nobody. Listen, I've met some of them that had that mentality, Sister Carolyn. What they don't realize is somebody be pushing them in a wheelchair by this time tomorrow.
Amen.
Yeah.
Maybe, what's that guy named played Superman? Fell off a horse, Christopher Reeve, something like that.
Yeah.
Hey, eating out of a straw. That's how quick it can change.
Yeah,
got that straight. Big macho man. Might need a little old, about a 90-pound woman pushing him to the table,
right.
Taking him to the bathroom, giving him a bath.
God says it's not good for a man to be alone. I said, woe to him that's alone when he falleth.
Right.
He hath not another to help him up. It's good to have somebody around.
Right. Yeah.
It's not always going to be a picnic.
That's right.
Things ain't always going to go right. Sometimes you're going to have to call 911. You're going to say, Lord, I need some help down here. Remember me. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm actually going somewhere in this message. Brother Jerry, I just can't get the rabbits out of the way. My dad, you know, this new generation come up behind us, and it's not really their fault. It is a product of society. The society is falling by the wayside.
That's right.
But Mark done a good job teaching this morning.
Yes, he did.
And the problem is we've got our eyes off of God.
Yes.
Right.
Can't take your eyes off of it.
We're chasing things we can never
reach.
We get better off just to slow down, downsize.
Right.
Whatever we need to do, have a normal home. We'd be better off.
Amen.
My dad, Brother Ed, he taught me how to fish, how to hunt.
That's right.
He taught me how to work on a car. He taught me how to do plumbing, electrical, how to drive a nail, build a house. We built three houses. It took a little time. Civil, he took a little time. I mean, I was thick-headed, but he got my attention. Now, he asked me, did you hear what I said? I got to learn to listen. Sometimes you got to get their attention, amen.
That's right, amen.
Well, he taught me how to drive a nail. He taught me how to cut a board. He taught me how to get the right measurement. We're building a milk parlor out there at Big Meadow, Brother Denny. We had a place we always went to eat over there. My dad, he wanted the measurement, Brother Patrick. He wanted to be exactly right.
Amen.
My cousin's up on the roof of this thing, and Dad wants a measurement to cut a board. And my cousin, he counted for like 10 minutes. Dad said, you got that measurement? My cousin, Steve Ford, honey, here's what he said. It's 10 and 17 16. Dad threw his hammer down and said, let's go to eat. There's just 16 16. Did you get it? 10 and 17 16. Dad, it took me a little while to get it too. Dad picked up on it just for me. Throw the hammer down and said, let's go to lunch. Not only did my daddy teach me a lot of things, but he let me know that if I needed anything, I could come to him. And he'd respect me. Don't disrespect your children. It's easy to do.
Amen.
The Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue.
Right.
Pull them up and love them.
Right.
Amen.
They need it.
Bless them. Right.
Give a nice compliment. Boy, you look good today.
That's right.
Remember, you're mentoring, you're molding little. Brother Mark talked about that heart this morning. You're mentoring and molding the heart.
Yeah, that's right.
I was listening to Mays Jackson preach this week. I've been listening to all kinds of preach this week. And in that message, he mentioned about a young boy that was in a church in Chicago. The FBI ended up shooting the boy and killing him. But he was in a church. And it was the first time he'd ever been in church. Now, fellas, kids, they're going to be kids. They're not adults.
Amen.
But he was misbehaving.
Amen.
And one of the members from the church told him to leave and not come back. Derringer. What's his first name? Criminal. Got killed. Anybody remember? Derringer. The FBI shot him dead. But you know what I mean? He was in church and he's misbehaving and the option seemed so convenient, leave and don't come back. He said, I won't be back. I can't remember his first name.
John Dillon.
John Dillon, that's probably it. Very well-known criminal. What I want to say about that is just remember this, they're kids. They're going to be kids. I don't want them to act like adults. I want them to be kids. I don't care if I got a hold one in my arm while I'm preaching. Let them be kids. And don't worry about them crying. Don't worry about them, Miss Mahaven. Get them to church, amen. Amen. We never reach them. Yeah. All the devil does it. I'm just telling you, they're kids.
Yes.
We got the wrong kind of mind. We think they've got to be perfect.
Right.
They're not going to be perfect. They got to grow up.
Right.
My dad always let me know, Brother Denny, that I could come talk to him about anything.
Yeah.
You know, your dads need to keep that in mind. Your child might need to talk to you about something, and what you need to do is be open-minded. Yeah. Remember, you're talking to a child.
Yeah, that's right.
My dad, Brother Ed, he passed a lot of things to me.
Yeah, that's right.
He taught me how to do a lot of things. I didn't realize how much he taught me until he was gone. Then I realized I could fix anything.
Right.
I could build anything. I realized, boy, he taught me more than I realized at the time. Elijah said, no better than my father. Somebody taught him something. You know, my grandfather, Edgar Gunnels, some of y'all might remember this, he had a grocery store over on Oak Street, right there where the Lowe's is right now. My grandfather taught me, Brother Ed, how to feed chickens, how to call hogs. He taught me how to raise a garden, how to stick beans, how to plant tomatoes, how to do all that. He taught me. Daddy did too. Both of them did. But there's one difference between my dad and my grandfather. My dad was a lost man. My grandfather was a very godly man. He taught me how to pray over your food.
Amen.
Man, we go down there, buddy, we talk about fresh grown corn, fresh green beans or pinto beans, ham hock in them, cornbread, cathead biscuits, you know, that good stuff. That's the reason I'm still alive today, man. I sit at that table, my grandfather, he said, Father, thank you for this food. We ask your blessings on it today. Give you praise for having the health to be able to sit and eat today. Man, them tomatoes tasted better. Them cucumbers tasted better. My grandfather, oh my, I hate to tell this. He lived right back behind us, Brother Ed. And here I am out in the backyard, no shirt on, in my filth, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm drinking a past blue ribbon in a bottle, you know, one of them big, long, round-neck bottles. And I took a drink and I looked down, here he comes. Said, well, what did I put by my back? I seen him coming. Big, long, he like me, big, long, lankety kind of guy. Brother Mark, he walked up to me. Dallas, he said, horsefly. Called me horsefly because I worried him to death. He said, I'm praying for you. He said, I'd like for you to get saved. And I'm sitting there thinking that I was 18 years old, Christian. And I'm sitting there thinking, Papa Ed, I'm 18 years old. Maybe when I'm 81 or 82, you know. But I'm 18 years old. Man, I thought I was going to lose something getting saved. Man, I know what I know now. I got saved right there. Right there. But anyway, I got that bottle of beer behind my back. Pop Ed, I'm looking. He had big, thick glasses. Brother Mark, there was tears rolling down his cheek. Was like bowling balls rolling off there. And I told him, I said, Pop Ed, maybe someday, but not today. He wept over me. He said, well, oh. He said, well, he said, if you ever change your mind. He said, I don't care what hour of the day it is. Yeah. You come down to my house, he said, I'll personally introduce you to Jesus.
Amen.
You know what I thought then, Bonnie? I thought, well, anytime I want to, I can get saved. Now, it's almost as bad as what I did with the opportunity to let somebody tell me how to be saved.
Yeah.
I thought, I can get saved anytime I want to now. It ain't really that easy. I'll just tell you right now. I couldn't even get lost without the help of God.
Amen.
God got me good lost. Then God got me good and saved.
Yeah.
Got me good and rejoicing and happy ever since. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was a broke heart boy. He went back down there and I really thought, you know, about that all the wrong way.
Yeah.
I had some friends, probably shouldn't have had. But you know, that's just the way it is. Seem like you don't make good choices when you're young.
That's right.
But anyway, Brother Mitchell, we's up there doing like idiots do. We fill a Ziploc bag full of acetylene and then threw a match on it and it blew up. And I mean, it rattled all the windows and blew all the gravel out of the driveway. And here come my grandfather. I mean, boy, he was moving too. He come around the corner of that garage, cause we all were horse slapping down the ground there, laughing there, and he walked up, you know what he said, Brother Jerry? He said, it ain't enough, I gotta worry about you going to hell. He said, now I gotta pray about you that you won't blow yourself up anyway. And he went back down to the house, he was a little bit mad. We still thought it was funny, amen.
Yeah,
amen. But you see, mentoring. Children need that.
Yeah.
Right.
The Bible says a child left its own will bring its mother shame. You that, you know, your husband's is left, dead, you got to step up to the plate.
That's right.
You got to feel that absence. You got to get that little child up and tell it what it needs to hear, what it needs to know.
Yeah.
And the best thing you tell them, get to Jesus as fast as they can. Because I'm telling you right now, He's a father to the fatherless. Amen.
Yes, he is.
Oh, my dad, he graduated this life 2009, but I ain't never been fatherless. My Heavenly Father wakes me up all the time. Woke to talk in the morning about 3 o'clock in the morning. Amen. Go in there and spend a little while reading my Bible and praying. Amen. But I've never been fatherless. I'll tell you right now, praise God for that Heavenly Father glory.
Right.
Oh my. My dad taught me a lot of things. My grandfather taught me a lot of things. But that role of fatherhood, it's under attack today. It's under attack by cartoons, by movies, by books, by schooling.
Right.
Listen, I want you to know there's no way to replace the father figure.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
You know, two men, they won't do it.
No.
Two women won't do it.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, if you don't have a husband, God will help you. He will. He'll compensate for that. But you're not going to insult God. You're not going to mock God. You're not going to say, we're going to, like Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. You can forget that all together. You better get in touch with God. Say, hey, I need some help. I need these boys going by. I want these girls to be what they need to be.
Yeah,
ask for some help.
That's right.
God will help you, amen. My dad, he done the best he could. My mama done the best they could, but they only had one child. They said, don't need him trying to have nothing. I'm telling you, but that's a handful. My grandfather called me horse wild on purpose, but I tell you, I was in everything. Oh my. I'm glad that Jesus is able to make the crooked straight. I'm glad He's able to save to the uttermost from the guttermost. Amen. That role of that fatherhood, they're taking it out of the books.
That's right.
They took it out of the cartoons. They took it out of the movies. Our curriculum has changed for the worse in our schooling. Jesus made a strange statement in Matthew 23, verse 9. He said, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. I want you to know, He showed you what the emphasis was, heaven. I call my father, father. But I'm not going to call nobody who wears his shirt backwards, got a dress on. I'm not going to kiss his ring. I'm not going to call him father so-and-so. I might say Mr. this or Mr. that. That's far as it goes, buddy.
That's right. Amen.
You see, there's some things you got to be careful of when it comes to fatherhood. You put your confidence in the wrong one, you'll end up being a twofold more child of hell than he is. Amen.
Yeah.
Now when it comes to spiritual things, I'm glad I've got a Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Jesus said, my Heavenly Father, He knows what I've got need of, and He's able to supply my need out of His riches and glory. Now listen, that Heavenly Father will take the place of that earthly father if it has to be. You can't. There's three things that annul a marriage. Death. You can't stop death.
No.
Desertion. You can shoot them. They still are going to leave. You can't. Paul said, they're in the part of brother or sister in such a matter. You can't stop someone from leaving. Somebody says, look, I've had, I'm gone. You know, the Bible says in the book of Malachi, God hates putting away. He don't want the marriage dissolved. He wants the marriage to get down and pray. And listen, the best thing you do with your marriage is just be honest. Be honest.
That's it.
Humility. Oh, it goes a long way with God.
Right.
Just humble yourself. Say, Lord, I remember I humbled myself one time. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, that woman you gave me being my wife. I said, first of all, thank you. Find somebody to put up with me. But I don't, my big mouth made a mess, fellas. And I slept both feet in it all the way. And we sleeping back to back, not a word. I wasn't about to give up. No. But I was out there at work out there in the cafeteria, Brother Jerry. And I read that scripture and said, better is a den of herds and love therewith than a stall of oxen and hatred. They gave me the cafeteria. It broke. I'm just trying to make it back to work. I mean, they gave me the whole cafeteria. I'm over there whacking, sob, God. His word does not return void. It prospered the thing. Amen. It broke my heart.
Yeah.
I realized just how big an idiot and fool I was. When I got out of work that afternoon, Christy, between work and my home's a church, and I had a key to it. And I went in that church, and I fell on that altar, nobody around, and pressed a great swell of words. And I prayed. I said, Lord, I said, first of all, I want you to forgive me. And Lord, I want you to help my wife to forgive me, that somehow we can get back to loving each other like we used to love each other. I made a terrible mistake. I confessed my sin, and I asked the Lord to forgive me, and I asked Him to help my wife forgive me. Brother Mark, I drove home. I'm about like 10 minutes from my house. I opened up the door to our house. My wife's crying bawling crying. She said, you need to sit down right now and he talked to you. And I thought, oh my God, who's died? She said, the Lord just spoke to me just now. He said, we need to forgive each other and get back to love each other like we used to love each other. And she said, I want you to forgive me. I messed it up, Mark. I'm trying to say, honey, it ain't your fault, it's all my fault. What I should have did, just shut up and listen. You know what I mean? Sometimes you're better off just not saying nothing.
Amen. That's
but anyway,
right.
I will tell you this, buddy. We made that wrong ride, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that wasn't a stopping place. It wasn't like I had to dodge a hatch or nothing. I went to God, humbled myself, and I told Him I'm sorry, I made a mistake, asked for some help. You can do the same thing. I'll just tell you right now. God's not a respected person.
Right.
I call Brother E's a preacher, save nothing else, because I belong to Him. I want you to know, buddy, that He loves me. He'll help me and He'll help you.
That's
if you'll come to Him in humility and honesty, He already knows the whole matter. Brother Mark, he's teaching this morning. He said, God knows your heart.
That's right.
The Bible said God's greater than the heart and knows all things. If our heart condemns us not, we have confidence towards God. Whatsoever we ask, we receive, because we do those things that please in His sight. You're not going to fool God. Hey, just be honest. Be humble. And say, Lord, I need some help. Amen.
That's right.
I got the help of my father. I got the help of my grandfather. And I got the help of my Heavenly Father.
Amen.
You know, my Heavenly Father has took time to teach me things.
Mm-hmm.
He's taught me how to forgive. That ain't as easy as it sounds.
That's right.
Jesus said, forgive as you've been forgiven.
That's right.
Peter come to Him and said, how often should I forgive my brother? 7 times a day. Jesus said, not 7 times, 7 times 70. 4 or 9 times a day. That's just a good place to start.
Right.
Let me break the ice here real quick. There's no perfect people. Tuck and roll. Brother Mark, I've always been a rough preacher. I've always been a kind of John the Baptist. I mean, one of them in-your-face, confrontational kind of preacher.
Amen.
I never will forget the first time that I pastored a church. It was in Columbia, Kentucky. It was Cornerstone Independent Free Will Baptist Church. I got behind the pulpit, but I'm ready. I'm talking about cannon loaded, short fuse.
Bless Him, Lord.
And soon I looked over that pulpit down at them people. God spoke to me and He said, I want you to love them.
Yeah.
Them's mine.
That's right.
You talking about pulling some teeth, buddy. Now I'm ready to chew up and spit out. God said, them's mine.
Yeah.
You got any sense at all? You remember this. Them's God's sheep.
Right.
Love them. In spite of them. I don't care what they do. Love them. Pray for them. Preach to them. Do it in love. Amen.
Amen.
You'll get a whole lot more done.
Yeah.
That old John the Baptist ain't waiting to have to die. I love to preach like up on the pulpit. I mean, I'm a brother Larry, and I look down at 2 policemen behind me. And I said, we wouldn't need no policemen if we had God in here. Amen. They took a double step, buddy. That's what Brother Eddie back then. I'll tell you right now, Brother Eddie loves you. I can't love you as much as God loves you, but with the love of God, I love you.
Right.
I want you to know, buddy, I really care about you. I get down on my knees, 3 o'clock in the morning, I pray for you. I pray according to things you mentioned to me. Some of them are secret, and I take them to God and go no further.
Amen.
He taught me how to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
He taught me how to love.
Amen.
My Heavenly Father, thank God for Him. Amen. Well, to God, we had more love of God in the world. Amen.
Yeah.
People quit stabbing one another. I seen a guy today push somebody out in front of a train. What the heck? Seen a guy run over a woman with a stolen a car.
Right.
I mean, run right up against the wall.
Yeah.
We've lost our mind.
Yeah.
Like Brother Mark teaching this morning, we've become a godless society.
That's right.
My Heavenly Father, boy, He taught me how to forgive.
That's right.
How to love. How to keep going when the going gets tough. Not only is His footprints before me, and not only do they lead me in the right direction, but Carolyn, He even left footprints on the walk. I just want you to know, you're talking about a father, buddy. Them boys out there in that boat, they's worried. Storm getting bad. I get a little concerned every now and then, Patrick, when the storm. And I'm looking at them trees touching the ground, you know.
Yeah.
He come walking on the water, Brother Ed.
Yes, he did.
Come walking on the water where they was.
That's right.
Got in that boat, rebuked that wind, that wave. That's kind of what he did when he saved me. I had great calm, Sharon. Great calm. I still got that great calm. I'm trying to work it up and just won't do it no more. That great calm. In footprints. I'm telling you, that's what kind of God we got.
Yeah.
No restraint with Him. Nothing impossible with Him.
That's right.
Ain't nothing He can't do.
That's right.
Nothing. He said, try to improve me.
Yeah.
Dallas, I want you to know, He'll bless you.
Yeah.
He'll help you. Hey, He'll carry you when you can't go on.
That's right.
You'll never have a want for nothing.
That's right.
Somebody
said, I want more of God. Let go of more of the world.
That's it.
Sure, you can have all the God you want, honey. Just take like a dump truck, pull a lever, and get rid of things in the world. Say, God, fill her up! Fill her up! Yeah, man. Get the good things, amen. What Elijah said, no better than my father's. He was in a low spot. But did you notice he kept going?
Yeah.
He had known that Elijah would take his place.
Yeah.
Because he's getting ready to go to heaven. He's one of the ones who went to heaven without dying.
Right.
Who was that on the Mount Transfiguration? Elijah. There was Moses. See what I mean? God got him out of that mess. He was in. He'll get you out of your mess.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I got to shut up. There's just too much here. I'm like a blind dog to lead us right now. I'm down there enjoying it. But listen, let's not forget how important the Father is. This is Father's Day. I know this sounds like a Father's Day message and maybe somewhat, but I want you to remember you've got a Heavenly Father. I want this to be on tape, so I guess I'll just throw this in here. They come out with this shots for tots thing. Brother Bob Malkin called me this week. He did hear about me mention about the global COVID summit 2022, where 17,000 physicians and medical scientists met together. Before you give a shot to your tot, please visit that website. Listen to those professionals tell you better than these lies that they're promoting down here. There's a lot of people going to regret if they don't. These children don't need no shot. The vaccines, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but the people have been vaccinated, fully boosted, the other ones is coming down with them. See, it affects your immune system. It affects your immune system, yeah. So listen, God is greater than anything that the devil can throw at us. Just hold on to God and go on with God. Don't let man mess you up. I'll just tell you right now, don't give your children that shot. At least go watch that information and get properly informed. Get a second opinion, a professional opinion. I want to tell you this, if you do watch it, you'll never wear another mask again as long as you live. We've been duped, I'm telling you. Thank God for our Heavenly Father. Father, I need to shut up right here. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, to stand for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for the great help your word is, Lord. It's a lamp at our feet, a light in our path. We can hide in our heart that might not sin against God. Lord, bless, I pray, your children today. Thank you, Lord, for ministering here today as you have done. Lord, I'm just a messenger boy. I'm just drawing from the wells of God. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Ask your blessings.
Amen.
Might
ask everybody to stand. Get Brother Jerry, please. Sister Sharon to help him. Maybe sing a verse of invitation of him. You know, I don't know how the word went to you, but maybe God spoke to you. Maybe you need to come up here and say, "Lord, we need to talk." I'll pray with you. I'll tell you that right now. I'll pray with you. If you need to come, come. If you don't need to come, you don't have to come. I'll just tell you, we're singing this verse of invitation on him. Just for you, if you need to come right now, it's your time.
Number 122.